The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood before them. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. That passage from Colossians has always been striking to me. Fill up what is lacking in the passion of Christ. What does that mean? Is his passion lacking? Not really. But what our Lord wants is for all of us to unite our crosses to his cross. That's the meaning. That all of us have crosses. All of us have sufferings. They could be physical, they could be mental, they can be emotional, they can be social, they can be economic. We all have sufferings. So pray for the grace never to waste your sufferings, because sufferings, as well as our cross, either they can make us better or bitter. Either they can be a means of sanctification or become bitter and angry against God. So maybe ask yourself, what is your greatest suffering right now? We all have them. Okay, what is your greatest suffering now? Place it on the altar. Okay. Have you done it? Hello? Okay, now once you've done that, your suffering has infinite value, because this is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So that when I lift up the host, Jesus is present. He's present as he was on Calvary. You can't see it, but with eyes of faith, that's what's happening. And John Paul II says, Mary's underneath the cross. So let's invite Our Lady of Sorrows that we'll celebrate on Sunday, September 15th. Okay, the responsorial psalm says, we seek our refuge and our glory in God. We should find two places of refuge: the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Seek refuge in the Sacred Heart of Jesus here, and seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Over the past couple of years, you've probably heard of preaching on the Marian option. There was a Benedictine option when Saint Benedict fled from Rome and sought refuge in a contemplative life. He started off in a place called Subiaco, and then he built what is called Monte Cassino, which is the most famous monastery in the world. He could not live in the Roman society because there was so much immorality. Now it's 100 times worse, right? At least 100 times worse. So there is not simply the Benedictine option. The Marian option means this: we have to find refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I invite all of you also to pray, given that yesterday we celebrated the birthday of Mary. This Thursday we celebrate the titular feast of the Oblates, the Holy Name of Mary, as well as Sunday would be a Lady of Sorrows. This is a very Marian week. And if it's a Marian week, I'm very happy about that, because any time we have Mary, for me, is a source of rejoicing. Invite all of you to pray that we would have the fifth Marian dogma proclaimed, which would be Mary's mediatrix of all graces, Mary as co-redemptrix, and Mary as coadjutrix, Mary as our helper. And also pray that this would be a reality. Over the past week, I spent a lot of time with my mother, and she's saying, we've got to pray that the statue of Our Lady of Americas is enshrined in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. It's only a couple of yards away. Pray for the new bishop, Bishop Gregory, that he will move that statue from Our Lady of Americas, which is an approved Marian apparition, which is focused on America and purity. Those are the two basic. The American society is called to be a model of purity. How far we are from that, but that's what Our Lady said. And once that statue, have you ever read the message of Our Lady of Americas? Very beautiful. Once that statue is transferred from the Institute of John Paul II to the beautiful basilica, and my mom said there's a niche there, there's an empty niche, it just has to be lifted up and placed there, and then this country is going to receive many graces. So pray for the fifth Marian dogma, as well as that statue of Our Lady of the Americas, and hopefully you'll be able to read that. One of the most beautiful passages in that approved Marian apparition is when Mary speaks about Saint Joseph as the father of the family. Beautiful message. It's an approved, probably most of you have never even heard of it, but it's an approved Marian apparition, Our Lady of the Americas. No? Okay, the gospel today, I like the interpretation that Relevant Radio gives from Conversation from God. It gives a really good, invite all of you to listen to Conversation with God on your Relevant Radio app. And on Wednesday, if you want to hear me on Morning Air, I'll be speaking in Morning Air. They actually interviewed me today, Greg Leverance, no? But their interpretation is this. Okay, our hands. I think none of us have a withered hand, but we could. Yesterday I was in the hospital where there was a woman that had a withered hand in La Palma Hospital. After I anointed her, she actually died, no? She had a withered hand. We don't have withered hands. So if you don't have withered hands, you're called to give. You're called to live out the corporal works of mercy. How do you interpret it? I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was hungry with your hands. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me with your hands. I was a prisoner and you came to visit me. Those are the corporal works of mercy. See up there? And you can read Matthew chapter 25. The stained glass windows, those are the corporal works of mercy. So with your hands, you don't have withered hands. Think about if you had withered hands, you couldn't give. But now that you have hands that are open and your hands are capable of moving and lifting, use your hands to give. And as Mother Teresa says, give until it hurts. Okay? Give until... We haven't done that yet, but maybe one day we'll understand what Mother Teresa said, give until it hurts. Now, who did this? The saint that we celebrate today. This saint is extraordinary. Very humble saint that maybe none of you have ever heard of before. His name is Saint Peter Claver. Let me give you a brief summary of this saint who really lived this out, the gospel of today. He was born in Spain, and he studied with the Jesuits. And he was ordained a Jesuit priest. He felt like St. Peter Chanel and like Father Damien. He really felt that he wanted to be a missionary. So he wanted to go to Africa. So he ends up in Africa, and in that time, the slave trade would go from Western Africa and would go to Cartagena, and then the slaves would be dropped off on the shores in Colombia. Now, a third of them died on the way. A third of them died on the way because of not enough food, they didn't have doctors, they had sicknesses. Those that did not die on the way, once they arrived on the shore, some of them, if you read the Office of Readings this morning with us, two of them were already dying when they got off the ship. And Peter Claver, you who do the liturgy, a very moving text this morning. They would disembark and he was there to greet them. Now, he couldn't speak their language, so he greeted them with a smile. He greeted them with kindness. He greeted them with a welcoming gesture. That has always struck me because he couldn't speak their language right away. So just his countenance, his smile, his kindness, that gave them strength. There's a lot that can be said about this saint, but he was interested in giving them food and clothing and medicine in as much as he could. But especially, he wanted the salvation of their soul. Don't forget, this is a Jesuit. Okay, he knew principle and foundation, probably better than most of us, okay? He knew the importance of the salvation of a soul. He worked there for 40 years. And not only did he help out the poor black slaves, but also he went into the public square and he would preach to all the people. Now I probably in my life probably baptized at least 1,000 children. That's a lot. Do you know how many he baptized? 300,000. It's a third of a million. 300,000 baptisms. Wow. And if you follow the Office of Readings, he catechized a lot of them with a translator. The sign of the cross, he would preach through looking at the cross, then he'd go through the commandments, then he'd go through the creed, then he'd go through the Trinity, go through incarnation, and once they said yes, he would baptize them. Some of them would die shortly after that. But he really wanted to help their bodies, but he wanted to help their souls. Now, years ago when I was reading his life, one of the things that impressed me most was, but the last 4 or 5 years of his life, it may have been that he had a stroke. He had a stroke. So he was basically paralyzed. And he spent about four to five of his last years confined to bed. And one of the slaves that he tried to help insulted him, humiliated him, wouldn't give his food to him. And he accepted all of that in patience. Wow. I think of all the things that he did, that was probably the greatest. Accepting rejection and humiliations by the person he came to save. That's called holy indifference. You ever hear that? It's called holy indifference, almost to the highest degree. So I'd like to end with three conclusions. One is, let's see, if we, with our hands, we can serve. Number two, this is against racism. This was a white man that was helping out black people. This is against racism. And that means that all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're from Sri Lanka or from Mexico or from New York, doesn't matter. All of us are brothers and sisters of Christ. If we say, Our Father who art in heaven, that means God is our Father, Jesus is our brother, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And third, what is true love? St. Thomas Aquinas says, love is willing the good of the other. What is the greatest good of the other? Helping his body, yes, but especially helping his soul. And that's why St. Peter Claver is a great saint. He wanted to help the body, but he wanted to bring as many souls to heaven as possible. St. Peter Claver, pray for us.